This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, it's no secret if you have watched the show here, the Annie Fry Show, on our Annie Fry YouTube channel, that we play a lot of videos on the radio. Now, if you're a listener to 97.1, you might not realize that a lot of times, at least in the live stream, that we're doing videos with that. Those videos often are from X. Elon Musk's X. There is a really handy feature that we can share those videos and play them. So you get a little bit of a listening and viewing experience, but also because we're able to turn those videos around after the show. If you've heard us talk about the Annie Fry YouTube channel and you think of it as a YouTube live stream, that makes a lot of sense. We certainly promote that quite a bit, but we also put out a lot of videos after the show. Brad is always trying to put together quick, short videos. You know, you watch them on Instagram, you know, you watch them on Facebook, you probably watch YouTube shorts. Of course, the leading consideration is TikTok. We're not on TikTok. I want to be on TikTok, but I don't want to be on China's TikTok. So we're just kind of waiting that one out. But those videos make it more interesting content. And then we use that as an opportunity and an avenue to get the show a further reach. Well, when X is down, this show operates a little bit differently. We don't have the ability to stream the videos, at least from the same place that we traditionally do. So everything kind of gets thrown with a little bit of a wrench in there, and we've got to work around it. That's fine. Fox Business is reporting tech billionaire Elon Musk has said that the social media platform he owns is facing a massive cyber attack that's happening right now. Musk said there was, still is, a massive cyber attack against X. We get attacked every day, but this was done with a lot of resources. Either a large coordinated group and or a country is involved. Tracing, dot, dot, dot. So they're getting to the bottom of it. X suffered periodic outages on Monday morning. So the way we communicate with each other in large part on the show, leading into the show and after the show, and around the show is through DMs.
And on the weekends. And
just, yeah. I mean, there's a group text, but there's also a lot of X DMs that go on. And it's all down. It's all gone. I was very, I was made very aware of how much Elon Musk is right when he says that you were the media now. When X went down, and I couldn't look at X. It is a huge part of my preparation for the show because it's just an aggregate of everything that's out there. What I've curated in my feed versus there's a For You page and there's your following page. So there are things that here's your feed that you've said this is what I want to see. And then X is like, here are some other things that you might want to see that you aren't following already. When that's not there, and I have to go do research the old-fashioned way, which is just going to websites at like news organizations, going to Fox News, going to CNBC, or going to wherever destinations without it being served to me on a platter in an aggregate feed. That changes things quite a bit. But it also immediately shuts down the voices of so many independent people who don't have platforms like Fox News to disseminate information. And it just kind of struck me. X is the game changer that Elon Musk has said that it was. And it always had the opportunity to be like that with Twitter, but they put their thumb on the scale. Once you realized how much Biden's federal government was working hand in glove with the people at Twitter to control what you could and could not say, it makes everything lose credibility. So if you see things that you believe, if you read stories that have been disseminated to you from, you know, maybe mostly reputable news organizations that maybe lean the other way a little bit, but you can read it with that knowledge in your brain, all of a sudden you have to question everything and say, why is it that this is being served to me? Why is it that this particular thing is being amplified? Wow, that post looks like it's gotten a lot of traction. Well, why is it? Is it because it's valuable and worthy information? Or is it simply because Twitter just showed it to a bunch of people and the counterpoint to whatever that said story is wasn't? They can control so much in their story selection, in their amplification, in their suppression, that when you take that away, when Elon Musk buys X and opens it up, and I can think of many times, gosh, Kanye West, just maybe the biggest moron that exists on the planet right now. I don't know if he's fully consumed by hate. I think he has a significant mental problem that is allowing itself to manifest in front of everybody. I mean, you're seeing some of this stuff on X, and he's there and he's allowed to say it. And the question really rises, like, what does Elon Musk need to step in and say, no, you can't do that? And he has very much so erred on the side of, this is the wild, wild west. And if you all don't like it, community note it. If it's wrong, we'll take it down, whatever. It's a great example of how America exists in a self-policing of thought and not a police state of thought, where when somebody among us is acting a fool, we point at him and say, you're a fool. And that person is not, it's not necessarily criminal for that person to be a fool or foolish, but it's society's responsibility to identify it, to call it out, and to shame it. And you can do that with effect without having the government step in and do that for you. Because if you turn the power over to the government to step in and do that for you, what happens when the government just disagrees with you? We know the answer to that because we just lived it. So that was a very brief Fox Business update that X is under a cyber attack. It does appear as though it's kind of coming up and it's going down. And I don't know what the results of this is going to be, but we'll continue to follow it. Why? Because that's how we do a lot of our show. So we're doing it without it today. Sorry.
Well, it's the report. I didn't know the report until you just read it from Elon Musk about who is responsible. He's saying, well, we get these all the time. People are constantly trying to attack us. But this one is a pretty major one with some real resources behind it. So you have either a nation or a group, well-funded group, that has gone after free speech. And if you're on the left and you're like, oh, I like old Twitter, I like the way it used to be. Well, that's because it was weighted in your favor. Now, just a month or so ago, CNN came out with a poll or with a data, I think it was from Harry Enten, who said, if you look at the users of Twitter now, and I don't know if he was looking at the content or just the people using Twitter, but either way, he said it's about 50-50. It's about 50% Democrats, 50% Republicans, where it used to be skewed very left.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, well, I don't like the way it's become, well, what you're against is an actual free speech platform now, because that's what it is.
You know, people look at something and they hate it. They hate what they see. I can't believe some of the things that Kanye West is putting out there. I can't believe it. And when I see him, this is really kind of the point. When I see the stuff that he's putting out there, you know what I judge? Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
I have the sensibility to look at that and make a very sound, informed judgment on Kanye. I'd really rather know that he's like that than have it be banned and have me not know, and then see somebody's wearing Yeezys or something like that and not realize that he's this type of person. I would really rather know. And if you see that type of stuff, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to amplify it. But if you see the type of anti-Semitic to me is not even a strong enough statement to the type of things that he's putting out there. When you see that he is intentionally, from a marketing PR standpoint, being as shocking and repulsive as he absolutely possibly can, it's just how I know who I want to be associated with and who, you know, if I hear my kids listening to a Kanye song, we're going to have a conversation about that. And I get to have that because I know. And if there's a police state out there, or if there is a hyper monitored, I mean, even if I personally, this is kind of the thing. I personally wouldn't be upset at all if they censored Kanye West on X. That's my personal view. It'd be nice if he went away. But my personal view isn't everybody else's personal view. And how do you choose whose personal views you go with when it comes to free speech and all of that? Like the hatefulness, the disgustingness that some of these people are putting out there. I want to know that so that I can shun them, that I can shame them, that I can call out how despicable and disgusting of human beings that they are. I don't think that them putting that out there amplifies some sort of message in a net positive way. Now, maybe the minority of people out there who see that, who have their thoughts amplified, maybe the case can be made that that's dangerous. That case should be made and tried. Do you think
No, that's free speech. I mean, you're defining free speech. And then it swings both ways, too, because I follow a lot of writers, you know, comedy writers especially. And some of these people are the people behind the late night shows and SNL. And I want to know what they believe. If they put stuff out there that's really conservative, obviously, that'd be weird. But if they put stuff out that's very, very far left, and then you see a joke come out on one of those shows, you kind of know where it's coming from. You may not know exactly which writer wrote it, but you kind of know the feeling in the room usually. Likewise, how about this? If you have an administrator, a school administrator, out there talking about how they really want to make sure all sexualities and things, like talk highly sexualized language that they're putting out there, I would rather read that and know that. It may not be my view, but at least I know where you're coming from, and I know which school district you represent, because maybe my kids go there. It's just better to have more information.
Look at what is being protected and has been protected on these high-level university campuses. Look at what people have said and advocated for. People who are there saying that what Hamas has done is like a moral good thing, a righteous cause. I am shocked at seeing what some of these individuals are advocating for on these college university campuses. And they get to do it in the name of free speech. And then on X, it's like shame, shame, shame on these people. You can't really have it both ways. I do have, this is news today, that one of the lead organizers of these like pro-Hamas protests that are taking place, is it Columbia or Yale? I can't remember which one it is.
I think it's Columbia.
Columbia. He's here on a visa. And the State Department said, not anymore. Go away. Go back home. Go to where you came from. Your visa, your green card. I heard this on Outnumber today. Your green card is not a green light. Your green card is a privilege. And if you're going to choose to come here and amplify those types of things, that privilege is rescinded. You have a different set of responsibilities when you're here in that capacity. And if you want to disrespect that system, and I'm talking about a system that has been disrespected top to bottom, not by the people who are coming here so much as the people who are operating it for the last 4 years plus. There are so many nooks and crannies of what the United States federal government under Donald Trump's administration is doing, that it's like they do that they rescind this green card for this person who's here organizing people who are saying that Hamas is morally righteous in what they did on October 7th. And our government is now saying, no more. You're done. Goodbye. And I'm sitting here going, obviously. Why the heck haven't we been doing this?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, there's a very important distinction that's being made there. I don't know if they're intending to, but they are. That the people of this country have constitutionally protected rights of free speech being among them. That is a right allowed to the citizens of this country. If you are here as a non-citizen, those constitutional rights don't apply to you. That is not the way it works. And this administration understands the Constitution enough to understand that basic fact.
Yeah. The many different protests and so on that have been organized by this individual have been very Hamas supporting. And it's repulsive to know that exists. Now, if you're Kanye West and you're repulsive and hateful and you're on X and you're an American citizen on a platform that is being known for being hyper pro speech, do you handle that the same way? I don't know. There's no justification for the intent, the purpose of what Kanye West is doing. He's a despicable person, and you know, he's gone back and forth. Like I said, I think he has some sort of mental concern that is causing him to be this way. It's just very manic in the way that he behaves, but it's obviously hateful. And when you see things that are hateful, you should point to it and say, that's hateful. It doesn't matter if the person has ever supported something that you support. You're not beholden to any of that. We should all be able to morally oppose hate in any capacity. And Kanye West is in that as well. And I think we should point and call it out and shame those people as publicly as possible. That's kind of American, right?
It's also pretty basic. You're basic. That's what you do. That's what you got to do. I didn't mean you're basic. I meant you basic.
I don't think that's what Kanye was.
I don't think you know.
Do I not know what that means? Because I kind of
don't. I
don't
think that word means what you think it means. All right, let's take a quick break. Ryan Schmelz is going to be with us when we return. Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Always great to talk to him. He's going to discuss with us the solution to whatever our YouTube live chat poll is. Should GOP legislators back Trump's request for that continuing resolution. Trump says we need till September. We know we want to get this right. We need a little bit more time. The government shutdown would happen if we don't act by Friday. Do us this one solid. Give us a CR. And that is not what the Republicans have been pounding their fist on the table for. Can the Republicans get the job done? Ryan Schmelz will tell us next. Don't go away.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if the Democrats want to close government down, that's up to them. But I believe we will have the votes. I think the importance of it's going to be stressed by the president. And I think we have to follow the president's lead in this case. We do not want to close government down. At the same time, we're making major reforms. And these reforms take time. And they need to be done, as we're going to discuss, I think, in a few moments, carefully, as I have said. And, of course, the president is saying as well now, they need to be done with a scalpel rather than a sledgehammer. I think that's what we're going to do, and we're going to work through this. And in the interim, unfortunately, this is necessary as well. The president's going to make that clear, and I think the members of Congress are going to follow suit, at least on our side.
New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew talking about the CR, the continuing resolution that President Trump has asked those legislators to support. Now, I've heard a lot of nasty things about continuing resolutions or CRs from Republicans, from Democrats as well, but certainly from Republicans. Now President Trump is saying, we got to do it. We've got to get this CR. Give me till September. Let's talk to the man on Capitol Hill. We are joined once again by Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Thank you again for being with us, Ryan. Always good to have you on their show.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Now, I think that with a very slim majority of Republicans in the House and this new kind of wrinkle in the budgeting process, is it surprising that we're trying to pursue a CR under Donald Trump's advisement here? Did they see this coming, or was this a pivot at some point?
I wouldn't say it's shocking because, you know, the last government funding package funded the government until the Ides of March, March 14th, of course, it just had to be that date. And then you had President Trump taking office in late January. So they were always going to be up against the clock when it came to how they were going to fund the government. And they spent a lot of their first 2 months in office, A, getting President Trump's cabinet nominees confirmed, but also working on the one big beautiful bill at the reconciliation process. So the CR kind of got pushed to the side for a little bit. So getting the full budget that Republicans wanted to get done was always going to be a challenge. But now it looks like they're going to try to punt this all the way to the end of September and then try to focus on the 12 individual spending bills so they can avoid a CR in the future.
I want to take this way back to the 100 level class, the entry level class of, you know, how do we get a bill? How do we get a budget? Because I feel like I'm looking at a table with a lot of information on it. I want to organize the stacks of paper so people understand what we're talking about, because we've discussed with you, Ryan, the House has passed a bill. We've discussed with you. The Senate has passed a bill. We've heard about the word reconciliation. Now we're hearing about continuing resolutions. Can you walk us through this process of what this CR takes the place of in the midst of the work that has already been done in Congress to get us back to a place of fiscal responsibility?
Right. So the term budget reconciliation, I think, is really confusing to some people, because I think they see the word budget and they assume that means that this is the bill that's going to fund the government, when it's not. It's more of the bill that's going to get a lot of President Trump's agenda items through: border security, national security, energy policy, spending cuts. That's where budget reconciliation plays into. It also involves tax law. But when it comes to just the funding of the government, that is the March 14th deadline that we're dealing with right now. The government is currently funded under what's called a CR, a continuing resolution. So if they are to pass a CR, it is essentially a short-term extension of government funding, the current government funding levels that go all the way back to fiscal year 2024 that President Biden signed into law. They would extend that until the end of September, and then they would try to work on what's called the appropriations process, which is supposed to be the process for getting a full budget passed. You would have 12 individual spending bills that would fund different parts of the government, and pretty much they would work through each one of those bills. They would try to pass them out of committee, then pass them before the House, pass them before the Senate, and get them signed into law, if that makes sense.
Yep, it sure does. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He's an expert on all of this, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. So Donald Trump has asked for more time. And as you pointed out very smartly, so the since January 20th, when he has been sworn into office, we are not even to March 20th yet. So just a few months short, just a couple months short of being in the office, there's a lot to do as soon as you get in there. And the CRs have been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. How do you feel this Republican, very slim majority, maybe you can tell us what that majority is right now in the House, how do you feel about their ability to listen to the president and say, okay, let's go all in behind the president's leadership here and do what he's asking us to get done?
Well, President Trump definitely makes Speaker Johnson's job a lot easier because most Republicans are going to go along with what President Trump says. That doesn't mean every Republican's going to go along. Like Thomas Massey of Kentucky, who's already said he's a no on this upcoming CR vote that's going to happen tomorrow. But you're seeing people who probably would have never supported a CR in the past say they're open to a clean CR. That's an extension of President Biden's funding levels. Keep that in mind. Like the Freedom Caucus chairman, Andy Harris, Chip Roy, some of those names are a lot more open to a CR than they otherwise would have been in the past. So that's kind of giving, I think, Speaker Johnson a lot more of an assist than he needed than he otherwise would have had, you know, before President Trump was in office. But Annie, what's interesting here is that Democrats don't seem like they're going to be willing to play ball with this one. And that's going to be a major problem because even if they're able to all get on the same page and get this thing through the House, well, the Senate, they're going to need 60 votes. That's an entirely different story there.
So, I'm reading from this article here from Fox News, and it's got a quote from a trio of House Democrat leaders, which included House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, saying, "We're voting no." I've heard many, many times when the tables were turned, Democrats saying how irresponsible it is to participate in anything that would involve a government shutdown. How are the Democrats advocating right now to vote against the CR of Biden spending? Why in the world would they vote against this if it's something that Biden had already put into place and it would shut down the government?
Well, the argument here, there's a couple of them, but I think the big argument that Democrats are making right now is that they think they want provisions in there that would, quote unquote, that what Republicans say would be reining in President Trump's power. Democrats say it's forcing President Trump to follow the law. They want provisions in there or guarantees that President Trump, if money is approved by Congress to fund the government, that money will go to what it's intended to do. And President Trump can't go in there and either rescind that funding or spend it on something else. Those are the kind of the guarantees they want before they go along with a CR. Now, there are some other arguments here, and that is that, you know, people don't like the government being funded on a CR in general, you know, especially when it comes to military spending. You know, you're spending money on programs that no longer exist. You're spending money on programs that might be outdated, and you can't really start any new military projects. That becomes a huge issue for military readiness. So there's some Democrats out there who think that the better idea would just be to do a month-long CR and then negotiate an omnibus to pass a month from now. And believe it or not, the appropriations chair, Susan Collins, top Republican on that committee, is on board with that idea. But I think she's kind of accepted the reality that the House is just not going to go along with that. So your best option now is a year-long CR that takes government funding until the end of September.
Ryan, what is President Trump's strategy here? Is he saying, well, this is why we're doing this? Because he's gotten everybody almost on board. So what's he saying they're going to come back and do in September?
Well, I think they're going to try to go for the full-on appropriations process. They're going to try to pass each bill, all 12 spending bills, separately, get them across the finish line. I think the idea with some Republicans is that they would be able to get agency heads into the room to do hearings with the committees, and also get some of the cabinet secretaries in there, too, and explain, you know, where they're going to find savings, where they're going to find cuts, and how they're going to make those changes for the next fiscal year. And I think Republicans are also justifying this as, well, we still have that other process, the one big, beautiful bill. Well, that could be an opportunity for them to codify some of these DOGE savings and these DOGE cuts by using what's called a rescissions package, where you would, you know, pretty much send a bill to Congress. It would show some of the savings and some of the cuts and explain why you're doing it. And then you could attach that to the one big, beautiful bill and get some of those DOGE savings codified.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done, and I assume this is going to be a very busy week on Capitol Hill. Ryan Schmelz, we appreciate you. Thank you for the update. Can't wait to hear how this goes next week in our next conversation.
Sounds good, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz, he is our go-to on Capitol Hill. He's Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Great to have his thoughts on this moment in time. There's going to be a lot of work that is going to need to be getting done this week. And I think it'll be very important to watch how the Republicans choose to work with each other or against each other. We have not had nearly as much drama with this small Republican majority as we have had in years past. They've been able to get the job done so far. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Steve Moore is going to be with us in the next segment, but not that Stephen Moore, the one that we were going to talk to at 1 o'clock. He had a scheduling conflict, which is to be expected from time to time. We're going to talk to Steve Moore, our boss, on the Annie Fry Show next. Ryan?
Can I stay in?
Yeah, but you should get your things.
Oh.
If you're going to go out in radio, don't you want to do it publicly?
Kinda. Mm-hmm. But I always liked the 2 o'clock hour, though, and I was looking forward to that.
There is big news, and okay. We're going to talk with Steve Moore. You're fine, Ryan.
Oh, good.
I mean, unless we're both gone.
You know, wouldn't that be the craziest way to find out?
And I invited him in
here.
You
invited him?
No, very exciting news on the horizon here, and we are going to bring it to you next with our boss in studio. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Beautiful day in St. Louis. It's just one of those banner days where you walk outside and you're like, okay, now this is right. I said I was in Chicago this weekend and it was snow globe snowing on Friday and it was beautiful, but I was thinking, man, if I get back home and it's brown and 20 degrees, I'm gonna be mad about that. It's not. It's wonderful outside, and today's a really great day for St. Louis for another reason. We thought we'd bring our boss, Steve Moore, into the studio with us to talk about, you've heard about some changes if you're paying attention to the local news here at Odyssey St. Louis, but there's a big change that was announced today, and who better to talk about it than you, Steve? Thanks for coming in.
I'm happy to be here. Yeah, anytime I can come in with good news, that's a really good thing.
Steve wore a suit coat today. He's wearing a whole suit today.
Anytime he wears a suit, stuff's
happening.
Do you get excited or scared?
Oh, scared.
Scared?
Big time scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find chairs for Ryan. That's my whole mission.
Yeah, I just want a better chair.
I actually almost opened with the chairs, and I thought, no, that's selfish.
Yeah, it's not.
Thank you. These chairs suck so bad, Steve.
It's not a great look.
Anyway.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we wanted to.
Can we get a timetable? Because we're working on it is what a lot of administrations in the past have said.
That's what I'd say. So tell us about this really big, exciting announcement. And it's, of course, with our sister station. Weird for me to come on here and be like, look at what KMOX is doing. But it makes Odyssey St. Louis stronger. And I also think it makes 97.1 stronger, which is why I wanted Steve to talk about it.
Well, I think that's exactly right. We've been wanting to move KMOX into a simulcast on the FM dial for some time. The opportunity has presented itself, and so effective March the 24th, KMOX, Cardinal baseball, Billiken basketball, Chiefs football will all be heard on the FM dial. So it's a huge deal for the KMOX audience. It's a huge deal for our cluster, and I think it speaks a lot about our company as well. They're really invested and they believe in spoken word radio. Radio has had its challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like it doesn't have its challenges. But Odyssey and a lot of the spoken word, I mean, excuse me, a lot of the companies believe in spoken word. They believe in local and they believe in local voices and what we can bring to the table for both the listener and for the advertisers. And so this is, I think this is a big day and a big step for this cluster and for KMOX.
Yeah, I think so too. And one thing that I love about Camel X, like, I grew up, now it's come as no surprise to people that I'm a Rush baby. I grew up with my dad listening to Rush and really, like, taking my face and going, Annie, listen to this man. And I was one of those people who was watching Rush Limbaugh on a late night talk show for 1 or 2 years, however long he did it. I think it came on after Star Trek, and I'd be like, Dad, can I stay up for Star Trek? Can I stay up for Rush? And I think when I said Rush, he was like, fine. And so here we are. But
what a good parent.
Yeah, I know, right? Just ask Ryan.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was American Gladiators. But same idea.
But KMOX has always been the heart of St. Louis, and I think that the local offering that St. Louis brings, and you just listed the top iconic brands that are associated with St. Louis, I don't really feel like what Camel X is offering is what we're offering. It's a very different thing.
And
I know that people have, when we came over here and everything, I've been with 97.1 since 2009. I was like, oh, how's this going to go? We're going to be in the same building as Camel X. And that's when I was on opposite Rush.
Right.
The way these stations are set up, the goal, the focus of these stations, it's a very different thing. And I do truly believe that we are stronger going forward with this, and I'm excited about it.
Well, it's by design. I mean, 97.1 is a terrific radio station. Along with its Fox News brand, it owns conservative talk in this market. It's by far, in a way, the largest conservative talk radio station in the marketplace. There's lots of noise about the commitment to conservative radio. There's been no change on the radio station, continues to operate at full bore. And that meant that KMOX had to do something different because we want to protect the KFTK brand. We've moved KMOX away and trying to stay out of the political game as much as possible. We've really leaned into sports. A lot of Cardinals coverage, a lot of Billikens coverage, a lot of NFL. But we talk local.
Local.
We talk local,
yeah.
News and current events. And I call it suburban angst topics. You know, like yeah. that's the let 97.1 do conservative and kind of some of the national scene. You can localize it very well, but you're going to do it through your lens. Mm-hmm. And KMOX needs to do it from a different lens, but kind of do local out. That's kind of the mission statement there. The 104.1. I think KMOX's product is a terrific product. I'm proud of what they accomplish and what they do. I think the 104.1 just expands its footprint in the marketplace to allow more people. Currently, it's on an HD radio station and simulcast on an HD radio station. And 98.7, which has been a good stick for it, but it's not a market.
Stick is market term.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's in too many meetings.
104 is, as they say, a big stick.
It is. It's a full-service stick that has been expanded recently with some upgrades that we've done there. And so now people, if they listen on 1120, they're going to get it. They're going to listen on 104.1. They're not going to have to drive into certain communities and not be able to get it. They can get it in their office. So we're excited about that. It's like I said, it's a big step for KMOX. It's a big step for our cluster.
Yeah. You listed off the sports teams that we are associated with here at Odyssey St. Louis and KMOX. What were they again?
Obviously, we flagship the Cardinals and we flagship the Billikens. Our sister station in Kansas City has the Chiefs, so we carry the Chiefs. And we carry a Westwood One package, but I like, you know, experimenting with other things. And we brought in the Battle Hawks last year for the playoff game and did that right here on 97.1. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not an opportunity to do something like that again in the future. So there's other sports opportunities, I think, as well, that we can look at down the road.
I think that the, you know, where I sit, of course, is what we do here noon to 3 on 97.1. And if you're not competing, if you don't look for opportunities to improve, then you're probably in a state of atrophy, and that's never good. So I think iron sharpens iron. But I think I will say, with all the noise that's out there around conservative talk radio, where it might go, how it might be maybe even throttled a little bit. I've not once experienced, Steve, you can vouch for this, you've never ever asked me to talk about something, to not talk about something, to talk
That's
about something
I'm in
a certain
now.
Way. Yeah, he's like, he's got his finger on the dump button as we speak, just in case I go off the rails. But I have never been hindered by this company. I've been provided a great opportunity by this company. Steve, you as well have been encouraging I'm excited about the move forward. I'm excited that HOT is still going to be at 98.7, so that brand still exists for the city.
That's actually an important note. That so that's right. HOT 104.1 is the current product that's on the 104.1 FM signal. That is moving to 98.7. It'll be HOT 98.7. They'll start simulcasting that on Wednesday, and then on March 24th, that'll change as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nobody at the company has ever called me and said, "Hey, watch what you're saying." Other than that buffer audio clip, let's get ready to whatever they say. You can't say.
No, you're too close. Don't even get close.
Let's get ready to whatever they call that. So that and
don't do that.
Don't do
Martin
that.
Luther King speeches.
Super
don't do that.
Super copyrighted. Yeah.
Don't talk about the Super Bowl. Oh.
Not an ad. This isn't an ad.
That's
so
right.
You're fine.
That's a $25,000 fine.
I have a great suggestion.
Sure. I can't wait, by the way.
So, I'm sure KMOX is probably like shopping around for taglines. Maybe something like, "Speak softly, but carry a big stick."
Look at you.
You know? You like that?
You know what? That's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Sharp as a tack, this guy.
Thank you. And by the way, you talking about how the bosses never tell you what to say. Uh-huh. That's just a world I don't live in.
You have that problem?
Yeah, they never tell me what to say, but they do give me a lot of weird looks. Like even this morning, I walked into a meeting and I said something and Steve was like, I'm not sure that one played well. You know, like he criticizes me quite a bit.
I wouldn't call that criticism.
I want to add too, before we let you go, Steve. Steve's got like meetings until 2026, but... The other thing is, we're covering from a news standpoint, you know, nationally. Doge is out there. Doge is looking to pull dollars that are spent back. It's affecting real people. I hear from you. I get your emails. I get your written letters, phone calls about your connections to people who are a part of cutbacks. And you're reminding me to be sensitive when we talk about this topic at Doge, that this is going to affect real people. I mean, you listening right now have loved ones who work with the government, have people who maybe yourself are concerned about what your future is. And I've related it to working in this industry. Radio is such a cutthroat industry, media in general, but yeah. Radio is my experience. It's not easy. It's not, you hold your breath frequently. I personally rely on my faith to be like, well, God's got me one way or the other, and I'll go where he leads me. When you're a part of this and people are losing their jobs, it's sad. It's difficult. And we always pray for the best outcome for those people when they go on to the next thing. So we don't take, from a national standpoint, I really don't take it lightly when we're talking about people losing their jobs. It is the nature of the business. The private sector does this because they're constantly looking for opportunities to get better. We've been looking for the government to try to care for the dollars that they take in from the taxpayer in order to make the government more efficient. So this is never an easy thing to go through. I've never been on the management side of it to understand what it's like to be on that side of the desk. It's a difficult thing, but there's also some light at the end of the tunnel for new opportunities that are going to present themselves in the future if this goes the way you hope it does.
Yeah, I mean... What we just went through is never an easy thing, and I don't take it for granted, and it affects people's lives, so that's something you shouldn't take for granted. But I work for a company, and there's expectations and there are goals, and so you look at it and you go, okay, so what is the best way to be successful and try to be strategic and put together a game plan, and that's what we're doing here. And I think this is a significant and a big step for again, I think it's a big step for KMOX, and I think it's a huge step for our cluster and for Odyssey in general.
Yep. Well, I was thrilled for KMOX's new step, and also at the same time, I think it's worthy of mentioning, thankful once again in Odyssey's confidence in 97.1 and their continued investment in making sure that we're here to talk to you, and I'm grateful for it. Steve, thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me in.
You bet. You will take a quick break here in 2 o'clock hour. I'll talk a little bit about my state basketball weekend with the junior high girls basketball team. My husband and I coach. What's that like? And going downtown Chicago. I have thoughts on this great city that a lot of residents in Illinois want to just, you know, scissor off and put into Lake Michigan and say, why don't you be your own state? Let's talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour when we return. Don't go away.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.